Yeah, bit of a apologize for the So we're in the last perek of Shara B'Tochen, perek Shvi, where the Klipas Avodas is discussing what is it that works against B'Tochen. Yitzhak. We have to know the Yitzhak from a lot of different angles. So what we saw last week, we spent basically, most of our time last week was on the points that he mentioned earlier in Shara Bechina, and that is not having enough experience with Hashem's Toiva. Meaning, in order to be able to really trust that Hashem is taking care of me and to feel secure in it, you have to have experienced a lot of Hashem's care for you. And for that, as we discussed, you have to go back to Shara Bechina and really work yourself into that. That itself is an exercise, it's a training. And I would hope that those of us who have been involved with Chovas HaLevavos for long enough are already on that track. Already on that track. But again, it's very hard to trust someone who you have no experience with, or you don't think you have experience with. And here's what Hashem's call number one is. Open your eyes to all the experience you've had with me your whole life and you have with me now. That'll make it easier for you to sense my care for you and to rely on it. So that we're going to call that number one. Next, Mafsid of Oy, which is really kind of connected. It's being ignorant about Hashem, not understanding his midos of chesed. A person who does not understand quite how much Hashem cares for every person, how much Hashem protects them, how on top of their lives he is, how he's guiding and controlling their lives. And to understand that they're actually completely in Hashem's hand, that he's guiding mamish every step of the way. So it's going to be hard to just rely on Hashem. So this is another aspect which also requires us to go back to Shara B'china, to understand how Hashem is Tovu Meitiv. To understand that what Hashem primarily wants to do with us is to give us chesed. And that even though we know that there's something called oinesh, that there's punishment, et cetera, to realize that those are all ingredients, pieces in a picture of all-encompassing chesed. I think I've said, probably said this in the past, that an older relative who was also a Rebbe of mine, Rabbi Chilya Yaakovson, he's in one of the renowned mechantim in the Israeli chinuch world. He said that he once got a letter from a girl saying that apparently she had grown up with a chinuch of the style of anything you do, any step you take, it's a question of how much are you going to burn. So basically, a person was that is. All their chinuch, it's all about if you do this, you're going to go to Gehenna. If you can do that, you're going to go to Gehenna. And that's basically all you're hearing about everything that comes up in life. And that's basically any struggle you face, it's a question of, okay, how much are you going to burn? So she wrote to him, I don't want to be serving a God who's out to get me. So he wrote back to her, he said, neither do I. And I don't. The understanding that, and this is really what the Chovas HaLevavos is bringing out, that Hashem, in terms of our picture of Hashem, you don't have an accurate picture of Hashem if that's what you see. You see that Hashem is looking to catch you at every curve of the road. Yes, there's din v'cheshbon, and it's all part of Hashem's chesed, but it's all about chesed. The whole system is there. For chesed, because of Hashem's care for us, because of his love for us, and how even the negative parts of it, the punishment, the suffering in this world, is all a part of that picture. Like the pasuk says, right? Whatever ordeals Hashem puts us through is in the context of a parent moving his child forward. Okay. Umayhem. And what's the next thing that works against bitachon? Not understanding properly Hashem's expectations of you. Atzani loyma. What do I mean by that? He explains. Torah soy. To understand his Torah, asher hizhir ba lismoich, where he admonishes us, he commands us to rely on him. There are various psukim, etc. So let's understand this point. This is a point that the Chovas HaLevavos makes back at the beginning of all the way at the beginning of Shaar HaBitachon, that many people misunderstand the concept of Bitachon. They kind of understand it as a basically begins and ends with a coping mechanism, a crutch. When I need it, I will try to understand the subject of Bitachon. It should be easier for me to cope with whatever's going on. That's also why I've said a number of times that I don't like the mahalach of only learning Shaar HaBitachon or going straight to Shaar HaBitachon, because it's really taking it out of context. Shaar HaBitachon fits, the Chovas HaLevavos put it exactly in the place of the Sefer where it's supposed to be in terms of the bigger picture, with the understanding being as follows. Bitachon is first and foremost an expectation of us. Or put it this way, a dynamic in our relationship with Hashem, which Hashem expects of us. The first and foremost reason why we need to have bitachon is not because it makes it easier to deal, it makes life more secure. Those are all benefits of bitachon, and they're all true. But the first reason is because Hashem expects it of us as part of our relationship with Him. It's a duty, which also includes benefits. Meaning as follows, we've often gave this simple mashal to this, but how in every relationship, whether it's spouses, whether it's in a business, whether it's a parent with a child, you expect trust in the areas that are meant to be your area, right? A husband who's out working every day is not going to appreciate it if every day his wife is asking him, are you remembering that we're going to need money at the end of the month? You're remembering that we need money at the end of the month? He's going out to work every day and now, for a full day's work. He doesn't want to keep hearing that. A wife won't appreciate it if she gets a call from her husband at 2 and then at 2:30 and then at 3 and then 3:30 asking her, we need supper tonight. Have you thought about that? Right? Have you checked if we have the things we need? Mister, I shopped earlier in the week. I shop every week. You had supper every night up till now. It's not just, she won't just tell him, it's okay, honey, you can rest assured. She's going to be offended, right? I've been doing this. I do it. This is part of our relationship. Trust me. The parent with the child, etc. We understand that trust is actually a dynamic, it's part of a relationship. And Hashem says, talking about the ultimate relationship and expectation, part of your emunah in me, and part of the overall system of a relationship with Hashem is, yes, placing yourself into His hand with the feeling that these are the best hands I can be in. So it's an expectation that He's waiting to see. It's not just, oh, this is a way to cope when I need it. So that, he says, is the next piece. If you don't understand that, you are, it's going to be working against your bitachon. Umehem. The next thing is what we'll just call the superficial worldview, superficial perspective. When a person sees life with a simple cause and effect view, he sees the immediate causes and thinks that that's what causes things. Here's what he sees. Doesn't realize that the closer they are to you, The more immediate they are, the less impactful they are. Meaning as follows. Let's try to bring this out. A person is looking for a job. He goes searching newspapers. He finds in one newspaper an advertisement. Wanted person exactly with his qualifications. Okay? Goes to the interview, gets the job. It's a very nice job, well paying, all kinds of benefits. And now, Baruch Hashem, he's well set up with a good job. So he says, wow, I have to be grateful for this. Who do I owe my gratitude to? What's the answer? What? Well, let's house, and what could be the most superficial answer? Who bought him this job?
Art. Oh, he's great.
What?
That's what he favored. The person put the ad in.
What?
He's not
Person
great.
who put the ad in, that's very indirect. The one who bought him the job is the delivery boy. He has to bring a big mishlach manus every year to the delivery boy who sticks the newspapers into the mailbox. That's how he got the job, right? You're going to start talking to me about the newspaper staff. That's like further removed. You're going to start talking to me about the employer of the company who put the ad into the newspaper? Oh, come on. That's like way back. But
But that's how cars are sold. We want to give a gift to somebody who put it, even though we know everything from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, but this is how
no problem.
he brings the product. We want to give him
My
a
question is something else. Who gets the bigger Mishloach Manos, the delivery boy or the employer? No problem. The delivery boy should certainly get it, right? But who gets the bigger Mishloach Manos? The employer, right? He's the one who's actually giving you the parnasa. What do you mean? Parnasa came through the delivery boy. I'm not talking Hashem yet. I'm not talking Hashem yet. But what the point that he's bringing out is that actually, the more immediate the cause, the less powerful it is, right? Because again, let's talk about that. The delivery boy is the least impactful. It wouldn't have been him, it would have been somebody. There's plenty of delivery boys out there available. Okay, so let's go to a step back, a more significant source of my parnassus, the newspaper editor. Or actually, not even there. Wait, you have to talk about the advertising department, right? That is more significant than the delivery boy. I go back to the newspaper editor. Right? He's even more significant. He's further removed and more significant. But obviously, more significant than the newspaper editor is the guy who put the ad in, the employer. You see that the further back you go, the more powerful and significant those causes become. And therefore, if you go that step further, and again, we can break it down to many more steps. And we say, oh no, I really got it now. My employer's mother. That's the cause of it all. And you know what? Send her Mishloach Manos also. But here, you understand that going even further back, you get back to Hashem, who this is like the perfect job. Like I can't fathom getting any other such setup. Hashem said, no. I set it all up. It could have been a different job in a different field. This is not the cause. I'm the cause. So basically, what he's saying here is a superficial, immediate, here and now kind of hashkafa perspective of the immediate cause and effect. And this becomes relevant to everything. This becomes relevant to everything. As we keep saying, this is so relevant in our times also, in these times, what's happening now. Not to get caught up with, you see what Klal Yisrael is going through now with the tzaras on the one hand, with the revelations of Hashgacha on the other hand, bringing it all together. But not to get caught up with all the cause and effect talk of bad political decisions, of an oversight here, an oversight there. Those are all the delivery boys. The question is, why did they happen? Who the politicians' decisions are going to be guided by what Hashem wants for us in this period. And therefore, sure, if the delivery boy ends up missing your mailbox and it ends up on the floor, so that's a problem. But again, that is a very small part of the picture. That's in the big national picture, but in so many different areas of our lives. Not to get caught up on the immediate cause and effect, but to always be working back and seeing where's the bigger cause and effect coming from. So here he continues and he says, yeah, ki kol asher lo yeda, this person doesn't understand, ki ha'ilos, when he's talking about the causes, kol asher tikravna lama'ilo, the closer they are to you, the closer they are to the effect, kim'at yicholtam lo, they carry that much less power to actually affect you, right? Some delivery boy would decide he's going to quit his job. That's it. He's robbing the whole neighborhood of the newspapers now. He's going to be switched in a minute. If the head of the advertising department decides he's going to quit, it's a little bit of a bigger deal. It'll take a day or two for the newspaper staff to work it out, right? The editor quits, they have a bigger problem. But you know what? The guy wants to advertise, we'll find a different newspaper. So the further back you go, the closer it is, the less it impacts. The further back you go, the more powerful the impact. Now, the further back you go, the more power they actually have on the final effect. Melech gives the example of a king. He decides one of his subjects has to be punished. So he has his viceroy, who the king doesn't keep track of who's in charge of what. He has his one person who he just gives the orders to, and then he lets that person funnel it out to where it needs to go. So the viceroy notifies the ministry that's in charge of that, I guess the Ministry of Police or whatever. And the minister sends a message to the police chief of that area, to instruct his secretary, and then the secretary tells the cop who's actually out on the street, and then the cop on the street has his club and he goes and does the job. Now, what actually hurt this guy? The club. Right? So he is now going to be harboring resentment and deep emotional feelings toward clubs, toward wood in general. He's not going to use wood in his house anymore. He was once beaten by a club. So, the one who had the least power over him to decide should he be hurt, should he not be hurt, how much should he be hurt, Hema is the club, right? The stick. The stick mamish has no say here, but that's the one that's actually doing the hurting. But the policeman who actually did the beating has more power. Etc. Now you go all the way back, as we discussed, back to the king, and the king is ultimately the one who decides should it happen or should it not happen. Okay. Now, okay, well, so he elaborates on this point more, but I think we get the point. He says the bottom line that when it comes to bitachon, the way it works is ki yisroin bitachon doesn't start with bitachon. Bitachon starts with the infrastructure of emunah that you already have. The stronger your emunah is, the more you know Hashem. The more you experience Hashem in life, the clearer of a picture you have of Hashem, bitachon will be a natural offshoot of those things. And that's why, as we're discussing, you really have to get the bitachon by starting at the beginning of Chayvus HaLevavos, by going through the Hakdama, Shabchina, Shavuot, getting to the natural flow into bitachon. Once you're already really in position, then it should follow naturally. Tell you the way the Chazon Ish puts it, we've said this a number of times. The Chazon Ish says that the difference between Emunah and Bitachon, he calls it Emunah is halacha and Bitachon is lamaisa. Meaning what? He's like, let's take Hilchus Shabbos. And so you can learn on Tuesday that a pen is muktzah. Right? That's true on Tuesday, that a pen is muktzah on Shabbos. It's halacha. And it's very important to learn Hilchos Shabbos throughout the week, otherwise you won't know enough on Shabbos. It's halacha, but it's not lemaisa. Now on Shabbos, when you actually find a pen on your table and you have to know what to do, that is lemaisa. So you have the knowledge that the pen is muktzah, and then in real time on Shabbos, you have to know what to do. So the Chazon Ish says, emunah is halacha, meaning you know that Hashem is in absolute control of everything. Bitachon. What do you mean by that?
I believe, and then like, when you really have to do it, like when
Oh.
Avram went to be, that shows that he has the chakra.
That's the point. That's exactly the point. That's how the Chazon Ish puts it. He says, Bitachon is emunah in real time. You believe that Hashem controls everything. Even this aggravation that you're facing right now, or everything except that. Right? Hashem controls everything, but this is that jerk's fault. Right? And that is, it sounds ridiculous when we put it that way, but that is how the mind works, right? Yeah, everything, but if she wouldn't have done that or he wouldn't have said that, this wouldn't have been a problem. So that's how the Chazon Ish puts it. Emunah is the knowledge, the realization Hashem is in control of everything. And the Bitachon is in real time in my life when it actually needs to play out. Okay. Yelet. He gives another example. So Mameli, he says that this is really what Bitachon depends on. It depends on the groundwork that you already have. How much of a reality is Hashem in your life? This is something that should come first, that you have to be working on all the time, making Hashem as real, as tangible a presence in your life as possible. Now, he says, "V'hineh hayeled a baby at the earliest stage, but who's his best friend? His mother's breast, not his mother. Doesn't know about his mother. He knows that there's a breast. As long as he has that breast, he's fine. He doesn't need anything else. Everyone else can jump in the lake. Doesn't need a mother, not a father, not anybody else. Just the breast, and the breast is his. Whenever he wants it, he gets it. It's an automatic system. You get a little yell, and it's there. He has it all worked out. Life in Olam Hazeh is very simple and straightforward. Everything else is just frills." Pasuk says, Hashem sets me up in a state where I'm confidently secure in my mother's breasts. Now, when the kid matures a little bit, gets a little bit older, he's already 8 months old. Now he understands, oh no, there's so much more to the picture. There's actually a mother there. The security moves back. Oh no, this is not about. This is about my mother who's actually caring for me and she's feeding me, and not just that. Now I really get the big picture because there's more than just I have to be pampered and diapered and I have to be put to bed. Now I understand that no, really it's my mother. Lo, he comes to understand that no, my security really lies in my mother because of how much she takes care of me. Okay, etc. Brings a few psukim into this effect. Then, when he matures more, and then he sees that his father is the one who's actually providing the home with what it needs, and within that, his mother operates. So then, as the kid grows older, let's say from the age of, I don't know, three, four, five, the transition is into, well, my father is the strongest man in the world, and that's why I'm okay. Then, as he grows even older, and he starts seeing his father's limitations, and at the same time, he starts discovering his own abilities, right? That kind of comes together. Starts discovering, hey, I can actually do things myself, I can actually figure out ways of making money. Malacha, he's wiser, smarter, more capable, and he can either learn a skill, a profession, start a business. Then he shifts his security over to his abilities, his talents. I have my skill set, and that's what takes care of me. What he's missing is the whole point that it's Hashem who gave his mother the ability to nurse it. It's Hashem who put his mother there to take care of him. It's Hashem who put his father in his life in order to have the home running. And it's Hashem who gave him those as of yet immature abilities that later go, and Hashem has it all planned. Until the age of X, you're going to be under your mother's care. After that, you'll be your father more training you. And after that, I have different abilities and skills waiting to sprout because that's how I'm going to take care of you then. He said there was a certain pious man. He had a neighbor who was a talented scribe. But in the Spanish, let's just understand that the scribe in those days meant more than the Sefer Stam that we talk of today. In those days, first of all, many people were illiterate bichlal. And besides that, you needed to have things written up properly. So scribes were a very, very regular and in-demand kind of profession. You need a proper document, anything written down, etc., etc. People went to scribes, and this was a fast, talented scribe, and he had parnasa. I bet he had a fine parnasa from his writing. Okay, so then one day, so one day this chassid met his neighbor, the scribe, and he said to him, "Well, how are things?" But tied by Daddy Shlomo, he said, "What do you mean? How are things? See my hand? I have a hand, right? So everything is fine. As long as I have my hand, I'm set up." That night, his arm broke. He was never able to write again because he saw himself as a self-contained package. I have whatever I need. As long as I have my arm, I'm fine. Because he placed all of his eggs in his arm's basket, this is how Hashem taught him that lesson. So now, when you're talking like Tarpaile de Zulosa, Minabrias, so he says that yes, it is a natural problem that when a person is gets his parnosa through the means of other people, so he feels that his security lies with them. But the expectation is, k'shetechzak hakarosoi v'yirech, and as he matures more, let's go back to the child with his father. Learns to understand how actually his father is the strongest being there is, and he's the one who provides the home with its security, and he's the one who's making the money, and now he worships his father. That's a good thing. But then he grows a little older, and he sees how his father actually has a boss. That's a very disturbing thing to discover. But his father has a boss, and his father depends on that boss for his own welfare. And not just that, but his father has a certain condition and he has to be regularly going to this doctor for care. So he starts seeing how his father actually has his limitations, believe it or not. Yisbarach, he suddenly starts seeing that there are things that are beyond my father and things that my father actually depends on Hashem for. So say, for example, kind of describing a process here. This person, his father takes care of him. He starts seeing his father's limitations. He also sees his father's limitations in terms of taking care of him. Let's say this person gets sick, chalir, this boy. And he sees how his father is able to get into the best doctors, but his father is helpless in terms of easing his pain, in terms of the prognosis. He sees his father's limitations. Yes, father gets him to the best places, but there are things that are beyond his father. And he sees that these things I need Hashem for. Chalila, a week of treatments, a week of medical activity. What's it going to feel like? Here I see that my father has very little power. He can be nudging the nurses to come. But in terms of my experiences, I have no choice but to daven to Hashem. Why? Because here, my father is my security system, but there are holes. And in those holes, I need to turn to Hashem. So he says, as this boy is maturing, and he was talking about maturing on the right track, it starts with, okay, here are the areas that I need to fall back on Hashem for, because these are the things my father is not covering. So, I move my trust over to Hashem in the areas that either me or my father or my boss or whatever it is can't cover. And here are areas we have no choice but to just turn to Hashem. A few examples. There's the guy who has a great farm. And he's a skilled farmer, he knows the malacha, and therefore he has full faith in his abilities, except for one thing. Rain he doesn't control. Okay, when it comes to rain, I have to trust Hashem. Vali chasayam, vali chasamid baris. Or a person is a very successful businessman and he's wise, he knows where is what, just what. When he actually has to travel, we're talking, old days concepts. Actually has to travel the deserts. So he's a great businessman and he's a good manipulator and he has all the merchants in all the different countries wrapped around his finger. But when he's actually traveling through the desert and he's exposed to attack by wild animals, here already, the great businessman with all of his ability is very vulnerable. When it comes to traveling through the desert, he needs Hashem. Okay? There are other areas why this very capable guy might need Hashem. There's suddenly what they call an act of God. That's actually an appropriate way of putting it. Very capable, has his whole life under control. He's on top of the business and he's a perfect mechanic for his kids, etc. Then an earthquake strikes. Then an earthquake strikes. I knew somebody who had a very capable father here in Eretz Yisrael. There was an earthquake one day. The father was in Chutz Laaretz. She called her father desperately. There's an earthquake. Right? Okay, it's a good thing. But I don't think there was much he was able to do. Baruch Hashem, was a small earthquake. Whatever the case is, so you have the level where a person recognizes where he needs Hashem. There are other things I'm in control of, and then there are other things that I need Hashem's help for. So that's a beginning step. That's a beginning step. We're not there yet, but it's a beginning step. The holes in my abilities, there I need Hashem. And then, if his understanding grows deeper, he says, then the next level is that he starts understanding more about Hashem, and he starts understanding that the areas where I have some say in, I need Hashem there too. Meaning, not just the areas that I have no control over. Well, there are the areas where I have some control over, and I need Hashem there also. Like what? So let's say there are areas where I have some control, but I can't fully guarantee results. So here, I'm going to do mine, but I understand that I need Hashem to help me out. But when it comes to the easy things, and here the Chacham Salam is really taking us to the higher levels, in terms of knowing that I have food for tomorrow, that is in my hands. Food, will I have parnasa for next month? That I understand that I need Hashem for. But as far as food for tomorrow goes, there's a makola down the street, I have money in my wallet, why not? So, okay, we'll elaborate on this next week, Blina, but the next level is where a person feels the need for Hashem in his life, even in those things. And even in those things, feels how when I go, taking the money that's sitting in my wallet, and I go to buy food in the makolet, I sense how Hashem is caring for me. It's not that, no, this is an area of life that I have under control. I need Hashem in other areas. But how I sense that, even the areas that I fully feel under control in, I feel Hashem's care for me. Okay, we're kind of in mid-sentence, but we'll see that next week, Bli Nedar. Let's see, we have a question here. Someone is attacked, shouldn't he fight back? Because he doesn't know if Hashem wants him to be hurt or to fight back. Even if we know Hashem caused something, we don't know why. So that's certainly true. When we say understanding that Hashem, when we talked about, I imagine that referring back to what we said about cause and effect when it comes to the current situation. So will we say that if Hashem is guiding everything and it's not military or political reasons that cause the problems or the solutions, so would that mean that we shouldn't fight back because this is something caused by Hashem? No. This goes back to the whole sugya of Ishtadlus.
Yeah, who is
That's
entitled?
right. The understanding that, on the contrary, Hashem sometimes shows us there are material steps that I want you to take. And then you want to take those material steps, again, working the bitachon into them. This is something that actually, Bli Nedar, I hope to get back to you at proper length. Yes, there are situations where Hashem is signaling at the same time, I want you to take certain practical measures here, and at the same time, be relating to it right. Meaning, yes. Hashem is calling for action now. But that action itself has to be done with the understanding that I don't know exactly what Hashem has in mind here. I'm going to do this because these are the steps he expects me to take. I'm going to rely on his aid, also with the realization that how it's going to play out is again going to depend on where he decided to take it. So, yes, it's true. We don't know. If we see Chalila, an attack happening, we don't know. Is this about that Hashem Chalila wants something tragic to happen because of his our bigger good? Or is Hashem telling us no, and I want you to be in a situation of fighting back, and I'll help you if you're capable of fighting back with your trust in me? We don't know. We don't know where Hashem is taking it. That's true. But yes, we do the Ishtadlus, and we do with the attitude that we've been discussing, that this is not about the cause and effect, but it's Hashem bringing this on us and wanting to see us respond in the right way. Mitzvah Hashem, I do hope that over the coming weeks we'll actually get back to that in detail, believe it or not. Good to talk.
Thank you so much. Good. Have a good week. Thank you.
Oh, good.